lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, it's sad that some people only think of Christ at Christmas time, but we should always remember our Savior. And I'd like for us to look at the name Christos, the Messiah, today, and we're going to look at several verses. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, we see the word Christ. It says, "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Well, now keep in mind that the word Christ is an adjective. In other words, it's a description. Christ means the anointed. We read about this all through the Word of God, the anointed one. Christos, the anointed one. As a noun, it's masculine. In other words, Christ is the Son of God. Christ is a transliteration of Christos. And the Hebrew meaning and the word is the Messiah, the King, the spiritual ruler from David's race promised under that name in the Old Testament. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 5 and 6. "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." Now, this is speaking, of course, of Nehemiah. He said, "Send me." The king was going to send him. He wanted the king to send him. And we keep reading in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." Well, Nehemiah requested permission to rebuild Jerusalem. It would take 49 years to complete the building project. And in another 434 years from the completion of rebuilding Jerusalem, Messiah, Christos, would be cut off, rejected by the Jewish nation. Now, the rejection of Christ by the nation Israel would be 483 years from the command by Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem by Nehemiah. And Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, and we've read that. It tells us that. Well, we haven't read that yet, and let's see. Yes, we did. We read verses 5 and 6. Now, the decree to rebuild the wall was given by Artaxerxes, the king, in the month of Nisan. And this is the first month of the Jewish New Year, B.R. March or April. And in the 12th year of the king's reign, this was taking place. Now, John chapter 1 and verse 41, it says, "He," and that's Andrea speaking of Andrew. It says, "He," and that's Andrew, "first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Well, Peter said to Cornelius concerning Christ in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, after the resurrection, we find the general recognition of Christ as the Messiah, the Savior, and as such, the name Christ started being used as a proper name. In the heading of the chapter in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, it expresses the evangelist's own faith in Jesus as Messiah. Messiah, the liberator, the one who sets free, the redeemer. Well, notice, if you would, with me, the word anointed or anointing. Now, I've already read that in some verses we've read here, but notice this, that anointing was applied to certain individuals. First, anointing was applied to this word I would like for you to see. First is prophets. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelaholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." You notice in that verse the word anointed. Prophets were anointed. Now notice also the word priests. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 29. "And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein, and to be consecrated in them." Then we read in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 15, "And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations." And then in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 32, "And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments." Well, we see that prophets were anointed, and so were priests. And also in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we read of kings being anointed. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 16, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me." And then in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1 it says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" So we see that anointing took place for prophets, priests, and kings. And we keep looking at Christ. The word Christ represents our Lord as prophet, priest, and king. Note Christ as prophet. In Acts chapter 3 and verses 22 through 24, the Bible says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Well, notice that Christ himself, Jesus, called himself a prophet. Luke chapter 13 and verse 33, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." So Christ said that he was a prophet, and then the Old Testament presented Christ as prophet. And notice Matthew 21 and verse 5, it quotes about Christ from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. We'll read that verse after Matthew 21 and verse 5, where it says, "Tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass." Now, this is quoted about Christ from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem! Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So Christ called himself a prophet, and the Old Testament presented Christ as prophet. But notice also Christ as priest. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20 says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This is speaking of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, Christ is not only a prophet, he's a priest. And as we understand this, we look to Christ as our mediator. We don't look to a man on this earth today to be a mediator between us and God. God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. We have the privilege as saved people to go to God in prayer, and Jesus Christ takes that prayer and he presents it to God the Father. He is our mediator. And I've often thought of this, that he is our defender. He is the one who defends us when the devil comes along. And I do not believe the devil personally goes in front of God, because God wouldn't stand for that. But the word can get to God from the devil, and the devil would accuse us, the accuser of the brethren. But my mediator, my Savior, Jesus Christ, would step in and say, that person is not guilty because they've trusted me as their Lord and Savior. That's for every child of God in this world who has trusted Jesus Christ. You have the mediator, Jesus Christ, defending you before God the Father and telling him you're a safe person and you're on your way to heaven. Not because you've worked for it, but because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once again, the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us by the washing and regeneration of the word, by the word. And we're saved according to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It's not of works. No man or woman can work his or her way to heaven. It must be by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he completed on the cross of Calvary. On the cross of Calvary, just before he gave up the ghost, before he died, he said, it is finished. And that means that he had completed what he came to do on this earth. He shed his blood for every person in this world. And it's sad that every person will not take advantage of that blood or not receive the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ save them. It's by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that any person goes to heaven. Jesus Christ has done it all. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He is Messiah. He is God with us when he walked this earth, but he's with us today because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's speaking to me as a child of God. He's speaking to you as a child of God. And if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to bow your heart right now. Say, oh God, forgive me for not trusting Jesus sooner. Lord, I can't save myself. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to go to heaven and see you one day, Lord. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll ask him, he'll save you. Be sincere with God. Get serious with him, and he'll get serious with you. And he will save you for Jesus' sake.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly
is our prayer.